Welcome back to the Further North podcast, guys. I've had a week off. I needed some rest last week, but it's a big episode today. We've got a new guest featuring Joel, our draft expert, is making his debut on the Further North podcast. Joel, please feel free to say hello to everybody.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for inviting me along, Josh. It's nice to sort of get a nice chat about the draft leading into it and good times for our club, hopefully.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope we're about to draft five premiership players in the future. But let's get into you a little bit. Tell us how you became a bit of a draft nut and how deep does your brain go into the draft?
Well, I've been North supporter for over 20 years. I was at 96 and 99's grand finals. Then our club started, obviously, mid-noughties. I probably started watching about 2007 when we first drafted Robbie Tarrant. And pretty much every year since then, me and my dad and friends would find a way to get down there to make sure that we're watching the draft. And yeah, every year you sort of get a bit more into it. You start looking at all the prospects, becomes a really big night for, yeah, the friends. So that's probably where we start. And right now I'm probably, yeah, looking at it every 5 odd minutes and seeing every single update that's coming along and every single potential trade that they've sent out. But no, I've been enjoying it for a long time now.
Is it just the AFL sort of draft and stuff you're into? Or do you follow any other sports and really dive into the drafts of those? Or
well, this year's NBA draft I followed particularly closely, and probably with Zion when he was getting drafted across the Pelicans. So I've been watching that occasionally, and I love watching the NFL draft when that happens. There's something exciting, I guess, about that time of year where you're seeing, you know, players that have been showing it at college level or at in our sport in Coates level or juniors, and then seeing them come up and what they can become at the next level, and hopefully seeing that progress and sort of feeling like you know something or not.
No, that's true. It's like for supporters like us, this is the time where we really believe that things can change, and it gives us the most hope moving forward that something will be okay. But look, we never really know. I did convince myself last year that we'd be a lot better, and we were not. But hey, I'm back on that train again now, and I'm ready for a big finals run. Probably
I'm
not
ready
next
to be
year,
heartbroken again.
Yeah, ready to be let down once again. So, I mean, by the tone of chat, I guess we didn't introduce what we're going to do. We're going to do a mock draft today. We're going to have a chat about what we can potentially do in the draft, what we think we should do, and a couple of other questions surrounding that. So that's why I've recruited Joel. Because we know my knowledge on things, maybe not the best. I'm doing pretty well. I got called out a few times early on, and I've been doing my research, but Joel does have a lot more knowledge than me. So we've been cooking away. Look, I think we nearly just get into the questions, to be honest, because people don't want to listen to the waffle. So let's jump into this. We're going to answer a couple of questions first, then we're going to do the mock draft, and we're going to do picks 2, 3, 15, 17. And A team. We're not going to worry about the other teams because this is a North Melbourne podcast. Screw the other teams. We don't care about them. All right. First question here, and this is for you, Joel, obviously, because you're the only one on the podcast. Should we trade for pick one? What do you think? Should we trade for pick one?
Yes, depending on the value that we're going to give up. It seems like the logic at the moment is the last thing that was offered was pick 2, 15 and swapping 18 and 21. I think that's about the correct value for us. If we came into this draft and didn't have two top 10 picks, it would be extremely disappointing.
True.
So I think
that's actually a great
way
to look at it too. Yeah. I didn't really think of that as well. That is a good, yeah, really good way to look at it. Is Harley Reid that good compared to whoever pick 2 might be, do you think?
The thing that is really great about Reid is his versatility. He can play across all three lines. He's spent a lot of the championships in the forward line. When he was playing for Bendigo, he had most of his patches in the forwards. When he was playing at championships level, sometimes he'd be playing off that half-back line, which is where I think he would start with us. The thing that I've really loved about him on our side, if he would get there, would be him and Sheasel in big moments of games could swap positions seamlessly. So you could move Sheasel from the halfback to the half forward line and then move Reid either into the middle or off halfback, and you're going to have a lot of versatility. if he's that much better than the rest, he's probably a real flavor of the AFL at the moment. His comps are your Dusties, is your Petrarca's, Luke Hodge, I've heard him connected to as in being like, because he can play off halfback and his kick is really dangerous when he kicks it. Really strong, pushes off. So he's very good, but the players around him aren't as far behind as the media would make it out, I think, or as far back that you would be willing to depart with so many high-level picks to get him.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it seems like, you know, from all of our points of view, especially through the media, that it's Harley Reid, gap, and then the rest, right? How big of a gap do you think that is between Harley Reid and May? And look, I know it's all opinion-based who would go at two, and we'll get into that in a second, but how big of a gap do you really think there is between Harley Reid and the next guy?
Well, the next guy is probably going to be Jed Walter. If it was an open market, this wouldn't be a discussion, to be honest. We would take Walter in a heartbeat, or West Coast would probably take Walter ahead of him, I feel. That being said, the next one's behind him. There's a gap, but they're different types of players. Yet again, it comes down to what the AFL feels the direct, or what clubs are feeling the AFL direction is. And Harley Reid's going to be playing across so many lines and so versatile. That's where his real danger is going to be.
Do you think what we've offered for Harley Reid is fair? And do you think that's our max offer? Like, would you be happy offering anything else up?
The question, I guess, would be is if we are happy to just go straight to 15 and 18, but that'd be to move up one spot for us. And West Coast would then be getting a very good deal. I think that would be about as much as I'd be happy to offer. I'm a little bit worried that we would consider the 2-3. But Brady's been very strong in saying that that's not what he wants to do. Yeah. But I'm a bit worried that they might consider that. But that would be well overs for him, and West Coast would make out like thieves if that happened.
I think so too. I definitely wouldn't do the 2 and 3 just to move up one spot. And like one you spot. Said, he's the best prospect. We know that. But the other guys aren't that far behind like the media would make you feel. And, you know, 2 8 out of 10 players is probably better than 1 10 out of 10 player, especially because of potentially the position Harley Reid plays as well, with us having a lot of talent in that area anyway. So I would hate to see us offer 2 and 3, but you are right. I mean, if any club was going to pull some weird draft move, it's North Melbourne on the night. So look, I am a little bit worried we're going to trade the entire the entire heritage to the Eagles for it, but I don't know. I really hope they don't.
And the big thing with sort of these players as well to remember is that there's still a lot of time for development. There's been a lot of drafts where there's been one clear number one, and it's very rare that the clear number one tends to be the best player in that draft in the end. You've got a lot of players behind them that like often become the best player in the draft decently, and you can get some real good value in these next few picks, I think. And I think that's where we'll end up sitting, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. So the most you think you could offer, in your opinion, is pick 2, 15, and 17 without 23 coming back?
Probably that'd be the most I'd be happy for them to offer, but that's a massive hand to still hand over.
I agree.
That's still 3 first rounders for one to move up one spot. Is, yeah, that's the big thing. It's moving up one spot, and the players that are going to go behind him will play potentially 200 plus games, be, you know, high level AFL players and potentially top 10, 5 on our list.
Here's another question then. Does West Coast pick Harley Reid with number one?
I'd be shocked if they didn't. There is slight rumours around them looking at other players, but if they didn't pick up Reid, that would look like absolute idiots come draft night, because number one, the offers that they've had. And number two, he's clearly better than the next few players. And it would be just the irresponsibility for them of not trading it if they weren't going to take him.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Obviously, with Daniel Curtin being the highest Western Australian prospect, there was a lot of talk early on, maybe a couple of weeks ago now, that they might consider taking him, and maybe Harley Reid would fall to us at 2. I think we can probably safely say there's a very, very low chance of that happening now. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And if they're going to take someone, high in the draft, it's McKercher. That's the really strong words. Curtin, they do like, but McKercher is the one that they would, if they traded back to two, McKercher is the one that they're taking by all accounts.
Yeah, okay. McKercher is out of Tassie, isn't he?
That is correct. He's one of your boys.
One of my guys, yes. Yeah, I wonder if I know his family. I probably do somewhere down the line. Okay. And I guess, do you think West Coast, this is something I really haven't thought about before. Obviously, there's a big thing in Victoria here about, don't draft players from different states. Do you think West Coast really hesitate to draft from other states? Do you think it really is a big deal for them to get someone from Western Australia, or do you think that they're not going to worry about? Does Harley Reid's level of talent sort of cancel out the go home factor? And I guess there's a second part to that question would be, how much do you think the homegrown factor is a thing? Do you really think we have this thing in the league that people need to be careful of this?
Yes, that tends to be a factor for clubs. West Coast has very good retention rates. They don't tend to lose a lot of players. They've had a lot of Victorian talent that stay there for a very long time. Famously, Judd left, but it was after, I think, 8 years or 9 years. It was a decent amount of time that he'd spent there. And a lot of success. I don't think they would be concerned with that. They could definitely, they'll have at least 3 years because of the new way that the drafting systems work. Compared to Fremantle, I guess it'd be the example of a club that probably should be drafting a lot more homegrown talent because they've lost a lot of players back to Victoria. Mm. Most recently, obviously, Schultz. North, there'll be players that we look at. And if there's a comparable player that's Victorian based, we'll take them over interstate players in the same position. There is go home factors to worry about. There was also the strong rumor of last year's draft because West Coast traded out of pick two. And North obviously traded two and three. The part of the reason that GWS, I mean, they loved Cadman. Part of the reason West Coast traded out is there were strong rumours that Sheasel, Wardlaw and Zardes didn't want to leave the state. There was a little bit of talk about it at the time. I'm not sure how accurate, but there was a lot of talk of it at the time. And that's part of the reason they ended up trading back and taking Gibney and Hewitt? I'd like to say Hewitt.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is good for the league? Because I think about this from a couple of different angles, and I'm a little bit biased here, and I'm not saying my opinion is correct, so I'm open to having my mind changed. But in my opinion, I think it's so crazy that we have – it feels like it's such a big thing right now that people just want to go home. And I don't see this in other sports. I don't see this in the Premier League or the NBA. I know AFL is a bit of a different thing because it's not quite as global and as big, I guess, like millions and millions of dollars can keep you anywhere. I understand that. But I don't know. I really don't like that we can do this. I don't think it's fair that you can choose to be an AFL player and then won't leave the state, which is kind of part of your job. I really don't want to get to a place in the league that, you know, we can't draft the best guy because he is from South Australia or he is from Queensland or something. I think that's such a bad, negative place to go as a league. And I think West Coast draft getting, is it Ginby or Ginby or whatever his name was last year? That is so negative for that club to not draft pick two or whatever they had and go down to a pick eight because the talent is at a different level when you go from two to an eight more times than not. So if we get stuck in this world of, Harley Reid's the best talent, but he's not from the same state as our club. I just think that puts the league in a really negative space. And I know the go home factor is real to a degree, like you said, with Fremantle and players from Victoria. I can't remember the guys, Brockman, was it from Hawthorn?
Yeah, wanted to go back to, ended up going back to West. Yeah. To West Coast,
yeah, over there. Yeah. And I don't know. I didn't see this being a really big thing until Horn Francis sort of did what he did last year. But I think this is an isolated incident instead of it being something that through the draft we have to watch for. And, you know, Judd is a good example as well. Yes, he did go home, but does it matter if you get him for 8 years, he wins a premiership or two and then goes home? I don't think it is. The goal is to win a premiership. You know, the goal isn't to retain players for, you know, 20 years and, you know, hopefully make a few finals runs. So, look, there's a lot of stuff to unpack in that whole rant I just went on, but I just really don't like that this is the precedent we're setting, and year on year it gets worse and worse and worse. I think you're an AFL player, you choose to be an AFL player, and this is part of your job, and you need to go and play where you are drafted. You know, the players have a little bit, I'd say a little bit too much power. Even players being able to pick where they are, what clubs they go to, I think is insane. You know, I understand if you're at a club and you go, I want to go back to South Australia, like Horn Francis, he shouldn't have got to pick Port Adelaide. It should have been in Adelaide because they're both in the same state.
Completely agree on that. Horn Francis probably did set a bit of a precedent again. But the same year we had Ollie Henry from Collingwood to Geelong with a go home factor of moving, you know, slightly down the highway.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Compared to, like, obviously you as well watch a lot of international sports, like obviously Premier League and the American sports, where this is sort of not really a factor at all. The only argument I guess you can make in AFL is the contracts are nowhere near the size to be life altering. They're always, you know, smaller contracts compared to obviously the multi-million dollars, but it's fairly strange compared to other sports in the world for what happens in the AFL, I think, and how often they're able to get away with it.
I wonder why it's a thing in our sport, in this league. Like, not even, you know, I know, once again, different comparisons, but I'm an A-League fan, and players, you know, will jump clubs once a season and they'll play all over the country, and they wouldn't get as much as the AFL players. In the NBL, you know, players jump across teams every season or two, and there's so much more movement. So I think it's a culture that's getting set in this league, and I don't like it, and it's going to get negative, and it's going to mean clubs like West Coast don't draft the top pick. They draft the eighth pick because they don't want them to leave. And I think that's just a really negative place for the league to be in.
Yeah. And to be better, Harley, at the same time, he's media has put out everything only positively, saying he's saying all the right things. That being said, so did Judas. Yeah. But, there is still that strong feeling that there was in the media as well, that he was potentially, I'm not sure how much was that media driven versus how much of that is him actually wanting, but he said all the right things, but, you know, obviously we'll see in a few years exactly what he thought, but interesting though.
It is an interesting topic, I think. And, you know, I don't think it's as big a deal as the media. And to be honest, everyone that I talk to thinks it is. Everyone thinks it's like this epidemic in the league. And I think we think of it that way, but I'm not convinced that it really is that bad. And it really is down to the player's attitude. Like, look at Horn Francis compared to a Harley Reid. Harley Reid seems so professional, head screwed on right, ready to go where he gets drafted because he understands he's an AFL footballer and this is his job and he's going to get paid very, very, very well to do it. Then you've got other guys like Jason who clearly their goal was to just bail from the second that they got drafted. But I think that's more on the individual player more than, you know, all the rumor mill and everything that the media does. Because like you said, Harley Reid has done everything correctly. Like, he's come out, he cannot come out and say anymore, I will go where I get drafted and I will stay there. And they did a great thing making the contracts longer for rookies as well. I still think they're way too short. 3 years is nowhere near long enough for a rookie. It should be 4 or 5, because if they give a 4 or 5 year deal to a Harley Reid, he goes over to West Coast. He knows where he's going to be for the foreseeable future. He gets a girlfriend, he gets mates, he gets a home, and he builds a life there, you know. And I know it's not comparable, but I moved from Tassie up to Victoria and this is my home now. You know, home is where you make it. And if your mind is going, I'm going to go here to make it my home and play here, then anybody can do it. You know, I didn't have a footy club of mates to go to. I didn't have any mates in the state at all. And I did it. And I know I'm different and it's all circumstantial, and I'm not blaming any player for wanting to go home, I guess. I just don't like that this is becoming a culture in the league.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like Horn Francis definitely, I think, was a changing point for a lot of clubs would look at it a bit differently after Horn Francis. But yeah, and Ollie Henry obviously was the other example, but you do see them after a while, but hopefully it's not as big a thing as we think it will be long-term. Hopefully it's a short-term thing, and hopefully we get back to normality, I guess, with the moving players and that.
Yeah, no, that is true. Okay, another question here. In your opinion, should we be drafting talent or by position? Do you think we should be drafting the most talented player on the board, regardless of position, or should we start looking at positional needs for our team?
Pick 2 and 3, best available, without doubt. We're not in a position yet to really be drafting by need, or as in by need with those picks. You want to get the best available. Talent in your door is always the answer.
Okay.
15, 17, 18, we've got a lot more. We've got a good spread of picks in that spot. You'll want to be drafting a bit more need. We clearly need key position and height, and we clearly need bigger players, and that's what you would hope to sort of be getting in that area of the draft. A bit more need based there.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah, because I slightly differ, I guess, with it. I feel like we've got and maybe this is me overrating the team a little bit because I'm a fan and what do people expect, but I don't know. I know Curtin's dropped down the board, and when we do the mock draft in a few minutes, we'll go over this more, but I kind of want to see us taking the most talented player in the position we need, not just the most talented if it's another midfielder or whatever. And look, obviously it feels like McKercher is going to be the guy, right? But I don't know. It sort of makes me worry a little bit that we are just going to, the most talented players and the guys that we're looking at are in positions we are quite heavy on. And I know in a few years' time, maybe it won't matter if they overtake current players on our roster and elevate us to the next level. It's great, right? But I don't know. I agree. Now you've said it out loud, and like the 2 and 3 take the talent, and then you go like after pick 10 and you sort of draft on need. I think that's actually a really good way to look at it. But there's always a part of me that goes, well, you can have as many talented mids as you like, but if you don't have a ruckman to tap the ball to him, or a key defender to stop a Tom Hawkins, or a power forward to back up Larky, it doesn't really matter how many good midfielders you've got anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair. I would suggest for McKercher particularly, when we do get to him, he's the kind of midfield that we don't have a lot of. Mm-hmm. There'll be, you know, key position players and ruckman as well, with that being said, are also speculative positions. They're very hard to draft, notoriously. There's been a lot of very high key position players that have failed fairly dismally. Even ones that you've looked at that thought would do a bit better. A recent example that I thought was a lock was in 2020 with Granger Barras to Hawthorn. I thought he was a lock to be a senior player and play lots of games, and they were shopping him this year to see if they could potentially upgrade, was the strong rumors around him.
And I guess the taller guys do, the bigger key position players do take longer to come on, notoriously, just like every sport. But yeah, I mean, look, we're still waiting for our ruckman to come on. So without too much Tristan Jerry chat, but
Cherry.
Look, no, we're not going to get into that. But I guess how much time do you put in? And I get it, you know, I guess 2 and 3, they're sort of a pick you would want a player to come in straight away and hit the ground running like a Sheasel and Wardlaw did and not have to wait for them. But yeah, I guess we found Larky at pick 73 or something as well, didn't we? So the logic is there, I guess. I just have this thing that I'm like, draft positions we need with the highest picks possible so we can get better in all positions, not just dominate one area, but then other positions on the ground we're quite weak.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with some of the thought pattern there, but when you're that high and you start to get the really pointy end of the talent, you want to be taking the best, because worst case scenario, they pass the player that you have in that position and you trade them. That's the worst case in that, I'd say.
Yeah. Really, really quickly as well. Do you think that, I don't even know how to phrase it. I guess these players are the ones that win you premierships, right? So is that sort of your thought pattern around if we do take a couple of players really high that are the most talented in these positions, I guess they're the ones that are going to win as sort of premierships, and you can have a guy, one or two players that just star on a day, and maybe they're the guys that you get at those positions?
Well, when you're picking at 2 and 3, like we did with obviously Sheasel Wardlaw last year, you're wanting them to be 250 game players that contribute every week in a position that you need. So that, like Sheasel, our hope is 250 plus games for him, that he'll be, you know, one of our top 10 players in the team. I mean, it'll be the same for these 2 to 3. You'll hope that they'll be best 10 players in our team come, you know, the pointy when we're starting to play deep finals. Yeah, that's and 250 game players. If that's what you get out of them, you'll be very happy. You know, someone you can lock into a position, say, this is our player, this spot's safe, and then start thinking about other people around them.
Mm, yeah, no, for sure. All right, so let's get into the mock draft now. This is why everybody's here. We've waffled on long enough. The way we're going to do this is we're going to go what we think North Melbourne will do, but then we'll give our own opinions on who we think we should take and have a chat about some of the other players sort of around the picks we've got. I think that makes sense. Hopefully we've got it all under control, but we're going to hand this over to Joel now. Joel, picks 2 and 3. Let's start with pick 2. Who do you think North Melbourne take at pick 2?
Well, I could put a spanner in the works and say that we're going to actually bid for Jed Walter here, which I think
well,
we will.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Jed Walter will definitely be bid on. He's a big key forward, strong, likened to Hawkins, except a very strong tackler, very aggressive, kicking a lot of goals per game at all levels. If he was available, we would absolutely take him without thinking about it. We wouldn't trade away pick 2. Mm. That's exactly who we'd take. Or I think West Coast would probably take him. He's actually originally from Perth and then joined the Gold Coast Academy and has been there for 8 years, I think.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so if we bid on Jed Walter, that forces the Gold Coast to use their points that they acquired through trades to then be able to draft him, right?
Absolutely. So they'll end up with him completely. Okay. So we won't get a look at him, unfortunately.
Unfortunately not. That would be beautiful next to Nick Larkey, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be absolutely perfect next to Nick Larkey, I'll be honest. So
that's fine. We hold pick like 56 or something, don't we? So we'll just find the next Nick Larkey there.
Easy.
Brady's cooking this season. We know that. Okay. So no Jed. Who are we taking at pick 2?
Let's go McKercher. I think he's the pretty obvious one for us to go next. Rookie Me Central, one of my favorites to read, have quoted a perfect accumulator with equal measures of speed and skill. Colby McKercher is a nailed on top 5 prospect. Strengths in this guy's game, big engine, can run all day. He's very consistent in his gameplay. He's got breakaway pace, so he'll be in a pack. You'll see him leave it very quickly, and he'll also run to receive the next one. He's got a very penetrating kick on his left. He can finish it on the run, scoring goals. He does that often. He's at Coates level in the 9 games he played. He kicked 12 goals, 16, most of those from open play. Mm. Really like him a lot as a player. I think he's got a lot of upside. The comps for him have been Zach Merritt's the one that people often go to. Personally, I'll see his early career. I reckon he could be a bit like a Dacos. Like what I liked about Dacos was he could repeat run and get the ball and hit the scoreboard. I think McKercher has that capacity. 180 centimeter, 85 kilo guy.
Yep.
Weaknesses that he'll need to work on. He's a very light frame at the moment. Obviously, 180 centimeters is a tiny bit smaller. 85 kilos doesn't sound too light, but when he's in the packs and that, you see he's a bit more wiry compared to the others. He still manages to get his hands above when getting tackled and get that free hand pass out. I don't often see him get caught. He's definitely a lot more of an outside player than inside. So a player like Phillips will really love getting the ball out to a McKercher in these situations. LDU and Wardlaw would love getting it out to him as well. So you'll see him on the outside a bit more.
Mm. Who do you think in our team, because you said before he is sort of an area of need, even though we do have a lot of midfielders, who do you think he would sort of take over from at the club as that outside sort of mid? Who's the most comparable player we've got currently on the list?
It's a bit tough with him. I don't think we've got a lot of players in that strength. You've got Bailey Scott, who's a winger more so, but I'd say he's got more inside game. Simpkin can play inside pretty decently. And I think Simpkin with this next crop of mids is going to struggle a bit more to be inside mid. Yeah. I think if Wardlaw plays 23 games, 24 games, however many they're doing this year, you'll struggle with it to fit him in next to LDU. And I think McKercher will get a lot of those center bounces along with Taron Thomas. So Taron Thomas is probably not a poor comp.
Yes, Taron, of course.
Yeah. I think Taron's a bit more penetrating on his kick, but he's also been in the league for a bit longer. I think Taron's probably the player that I would see McKercher hopefully having similar style for North in North terms. But I think Dacos is the player that I would really like to see him translate to in the first year.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Let's go to pick three then. Who do you think the club drafts at pick three?
Very strong links to Zane Dersmer is the one for us. He's one that I don't love at this pick, but I can see exactly why they'll take him. He's 189 centimetres, 79 keg. He's smooth moving, natural forward who can take one grab overhead marks and has no trouble consistently hitting the scoreboard according to Rookie Me Central. His strengths, obvious one for him, super elite hands. Like he marks it at the highest point. He jumps, he'll grab it in the single grab, hits the scoreboard really regularly. At Coates level, he kicked 33 goals in 12 games, 20 goals in the last six. The start of the year, he apparently had a chest infection, which is might have been why he was a bit slower in his production. He clearly had the best second half of the Coates League. I'd say as a whole, he was probably the best player in the second half of the league. His forward craft IQ is really high. He knows how to get free. He knows how to create leads. And he runs well with it when he's got it. He can get through packs a bit. His ceiling is going to be very, very high. I struggle with him personally to have good comps for him. The ones that you see thrown around is Heaney. Heaney's okay. A better athlete. Heaney's better over the ball. You could look at Bailey Fritch maybe, but Fritch can't win the ball anywhere near the same amount that Dersmer can. And I think Dersmer's a bit stronger. So it's sort of, he's a slightly different position than I'm used to seeing. Like that's probably where my slight concerns with him come in. Questions for him and his weaknesses is endurance at the moment. I don't think he's got an amazing amount of endurance. They've tried to put him into the middle a couple of times at championship level. And he plays for Gippsland Power, I think it was. And he doesn't look good in the middle. He struggles for that craft. He doesn't have the midfield craft at all. Teams will probably want to move him into there a little bit. I've heard Fife as well. There's another comp I've heard during that early Fife. But a tough one to put your finger on. But he's extremely elite hands, very good forward craft, and he hits the scoreboard a lot.
Yeah. It sounds like he's a very modern sort of type of player, almost like these sort of intercepting, rebounding, tall defenders. He's not a small forward. He's not a power forward, but you can see these guys, you know, a slightly smaller, not key position forward, but these medium to slightly taller sort of forwards are popping up a lot more in the game and they're becoming a lot more relevant. So maybe he's a little bit of a more newer generation of forward to maybe where the league is going. I just get the feeling that those sort of 189 centimeter forwards are becoming a lot more valuable in the modern game.
Yeah, could absolutely. And he's got like his skill set, like on skill, he's clearly absolutely at the top end of the draft. His second half of the Coates League was really, really strong. Kicked a lot of goals in short amount of games. A great one to watch for him if people can is get onto his Vic Country versus Vic Metro. He was absolutely dominant. He tore apart that game in the third quarter by himself. He was the best on field by a mile, and that was with Harley Reid playing the same game. He's a good one to watch. He's got a lot of upside. I just struggle to see exactly what he does at AFL.
Okay, well, let's get into that then. You said at the start you're sort of a little bit concerned about him going at this position. Tell us why.
We've got a lot of awkward forwards, I think. Like yes. Curtis takes strong marks and often gets targeted going forward as a marking target. Bull is a really good one as well, but yet again, he's an awkward size. He's not a key forward, but they often gets the second key tall.
Eddie Ford as well.
Eddie Ford, same. We've got a lot of those players in that position. He'll be, I think he's got a lot more upside and potentially be better than them. He'll probably be the second foil forward, I think. He played a few games at VFL level and looked decent. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see him. I think he'll come in and play games early for us, I feel. So it'd be an interesting one. I think we've got very strong links to him now. I've seen a lot of people saying that if we hold two and three, we'll take him.
Yeah. So how come you think we're targeting him so hard if we've already got a lot of players in that position?
Best available.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's got the talent on. He's got the runs on the board. We potentially take him ahead of McKercher on draft night.
Okay. So I sort of agree. All the word at the moment, even though a few weeks ago it was completely different. It was almost like Curtin and Watson a few weeks ago, and now McKercher and Dersmer. At these two picks, If you were Brady Rawlings, who are you picking?
Definitely taking McKerch still. I think McKerch fills a need for us, and I've still got a few question marks around a few. Like, obviously, Taron come the end of next year, there was talk of him leaving this year. McKerch is a player that could be in that role, and I think he'll be in our best 22 for a long time. I see his upside being really high ceiling. Curtin is the one I would love to take personally as the over Dersma, and that's probably more position-based and ceiling-based. I think he's got a much higher ceiling. I think he's got a much higher ceiling. I'll say that. Curtin, just to touch on him, was originally 195. Now he's been measured at 197 at the champs, post-champs, 95 kilos. At that, he averaged 23.5 disposals, 6.5 marks, and 4.5 tackles for WA. What can I say? Strengths, he's extremely versatile. I'd say almost to a fault, because he can play through the middle. He'll settle as a halfback / keyback. He's great aerial ability. He knows how to read the play well, very skillful and composed with ball in hand. He doesn't rely on his size currently, which I think means he'll translate well to AFL level and work into his size. Rarely misses a kick, and often goes for tough kicks. So he's not taking the easy option. He's gone the tough options.
Tries to break a game open a little bit.
Yeah, he does. The biggest comp that you've seen to him is Pavlich, because of the versatility. His size and ability across three sectors of the ground as well. Like, he can play in the middle. They've moved him forward occasionally in passages. I don't think he looks good there, but they do move him up there. I personally think it's probably a little closer to a Sicily. That's a better one-on-one defender, is my personal call on him. Because of that ability to take on the game by foot, and he'll read the play well. Weaknesses for him, moving into the middle, I guess, would be if they move him to the middle, I don't think he looks great in the middle.
Surely at 197 centimeter, though, you're not moving him in the middle. If the dude's 18 years old, he's probably hitting 200, right? So that would be a crazy thing to see a 200 centimeter midfield. I know we've got guys like Bont and Cripps, but that's still a bigger body than those guys.
He spent a lot of time in the middle in the back end of the Colts and for WA. Yeah,
that's wild.
But like, it is. So that's it. That's the thing with him, is his versatility. He does move through the middle. He played waffle level. So that's the seniors over there, against a lot of big, former AFL bodies and, big bodies there. And he didn't look lost. He looked pretty decent at it still as well, which is a big thing to take in.
What do you think the chances are that we might get a Curtin instead of a Dersma or something like that? Because it really does seem like a lot of clubs have cooled on him. Why do you think they might have cooled? And do you think there's still a chance we pick him up?
I think there's still a chance. Curtin seems to be the one that's slipping in a lot of boards for some reason. I think Hawthorn's a chance to take him if we don't. But then there's rumours of him sliding past Melbourne's pick at 6 as well. I'm not sure why. Maybe he interviewed Paulie.
Because he sounds like
a
perfect player for lots of clubs. Like, these sort of players don't grow on trees.
No, absolutely not. But it could be like, you get cases of like prospects. I think he's less risky because he's already showing good level at waffle level. But you've got other people that are, I guess, big, tall, that played in the wings, like a Nick Cox recently for Essendon that they drafted a bit higher. But then there's also ones that you take on, like a Kepler Bradley previously for Essendon as well, where these big bodies that they've got upside, and then you sort of get, when they don't do it at the AFL level, it falls through a bit. But I personally like him at that pick. I would take him at that pick, because of his ceiling. But there must be something that's obviously putting off clubs, and I'm not sure what that is exactly.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And look, we're not really up to us to speculate on that. But I was actually going to say the same too as you. I'm pretty sold on McKercher now, along with your explanation of him, of course. But I have done a bit more research on him after he's popped up on our draft board a lot more, and he does look like a fantastic player. I think Curtin would be my other one as well, just because of I know we got a couple of key defenders in, but are they the quality that we need going forward? TBA on that one, basically, to put it lightly. So I would definitely be taking McKercher and Curtin, but we're not in that draft room. Some more players around. Yeah, some more players around that that like 2 and 3 mark, other than a curtain. You've got Nick Watsons and things like that. Is there anyone else? We could talk about Watson for a little bit as well. The Riley Sanders and things like that floating around. Is there anyone else you want to sort of quickly discuss or put as a potential that we might take, or anyone would take as well?
I'll touch on Watson. I'm personally not a fan if him at 2 or 3. A lot of people do love him. His 170 centimeters tall, which is one of his downsides, he's 68 kegs. He's got a very good goal sense. He's very pacey. He's very good at high IQ forward. Like, he'll protect the footfall of the ball, follow it around and get it. In the 4 games at championship level, he kicked 14 goals. So he's very good at getting it. As a small forward, he'll have the typical issue of most small forwards, which is they disappear for big chunks of games. Mm. So unless the ball's down there, they don't tend to be impacting games at all. He'll always have a knock on him because of his size, but he has a fair chip on his shoulder because of that as well. The comps to him seem to be at the moment like a Pickett or a Waitman. He's actually surprisingly strong overhead for such a smaller frame, and he's very quick off the mark. So he does get those lead up marks pretty well. So he makes things happen in the forward line. I thought his Coates League was not as good as it had been, but his championships he showed a lot.
Okay.
I guess the other one to touch on would be Sanders, the Colonel.
Yep.
He is probably the example of a midfielder that we don't need, to be honest.
Yes.
He is a 185 centimeter, 86 kilo, fella from Tassie. Well, originally Tassie, lives in Melbourne now.
Tassie is producing their goods like usual.
Oh, they're producing some very goods this year. I'll give them credit. he was the Lark medalist, which is the best at the championship level. He's a quintessential inside bull. Strong hands, very good work rate, very big engine already, clean hands. He gets the ball, huge amounts. He's strong overhead mark for his position. The one that you often see him compared to is Horn Francis. I don't think he has the breakaway pace of him though. So I think Horn Francis is very quick from the mark, yeah, and he gets away from packs a bit better than I think Sanders currently does. I think maybe a Mitchell could be a potential where they're just that inside worker getting it to the outside. Mm. For our list, we've been linked to him occasionally. Obviously, if we had the NGA for him now, but he's probably the exact kind of midfielder that we don't need, and the only kind that we really, really don't need, because we've got a lot of people in that space.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I think really quickly, I'll just touch on Watson and then Sanders. Mm. Watson, to me, there's two sides of this coin for me. He sounds like the exact player we need. And I know we talked before about positional compared to talent, and maybe he's not as talented, but initially I was all, let's draft Curtin and Watson. And I get the height thing for Watson, but we don't say that, you know, Bobby Hill's too small, and we don't say that Charlie Cameron's too small. We saw what Waitman did against us in that game. I do understand it from a point of like, we don't get the ball in the forward line very often. And I agree with you that those type of players can go missing. But as we've seen in the grand final, those guys can win games off their boot as well. And it's a position we've struggled with for so, so long since Lindsay Thomas. And I don't know, I'm not too concerned about the height thing, because his job's not going to be to take marks. His job's going to be on the ground roving packs and kicking goals, sort of like those Bobby Hills and Charlie Camerons do. So I would love a player like that. I completely agree. You know, maybe now the first couple of years of it, we might draft him at 3 if we did hypothetically. And then for the next 2 years, while we're probably still struggling a little bit, he probably doesn't shine like he did. But those players to me scream icing on the top of the cake. And can you get those players down the draft board? You can. But I don't know. I'm not too concerned about the height, because height and size isn't part of his job. You know what I mean? I don't know how fair or unfair that is, but that's an archetype of player that we've just seen is so effective and can win you a grand final.
Oh, I agree with you a lot of those points. Watson is definitely, he'll come into our side immediately. He'll be on our list, and he's far better than our current stocks, and we've been really trying to put a lot of people into those stocks, but we've really struggled to fill it. I agree, since Lindsay was brilliant. No, absolutely. But his, I guess the people above him, like Dersma, I think is a step up from him, McKercher as well. And I'd have Curtin above him.
It's the talent level, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the talent level with him. And small forwards that get drafted early, I think the last one ranking went at 3. They're not, it's not a position that you necessarily need to draft early. Kind of a bit like running backs in the NFL, I would say.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it, but like you can't be wrong on these ones, but it's a position where you can tend to get players.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I look, I with Sanders as well, I do agree sort of with Sanders, like would love to have a Cunnington-esque player in this team, but we've got guys like a Wardlaw and an LDU, and hopefully Will Phillips can develop a little bit more next season that should be able to get the ball out of the bottom of a pack. So yeah, look, unfortunately we didn't get the full rights to him to be able to draft him sort of like the Gold Coast and everything are going to do, but maybe not, you know, the player. I'd be spewing if we had a guy like Jed Walter and it was turned out to be the same situation as Riley Sanders and we didn't get the rights to him. So yeah, look, I'm not too upset about missing on Riley Sanders, especially with what these other guys do sort of bring. But hey, I hope Riley has an unbelievable career, but he's awful against North Melbourne.
I think Riley will hit. Like, I'd be surprised if he's not a player at the next level. That being said, like, the difference between him and like a McKercher is impact on game to an extent. I think McKercher is just going to be that player that bursts away from packs, takes the ball to the next, from, you know, outside the pack.
Transitioning the ball.
Yeah, transitioning a lot better, where Sanders is really locked into one spot, I think. I don't see him going outside at all. He'll probably spend time in the forward line taking marks occasionally.
Yeah.
But his set shot hasn't been overly amazing either. I think he kicked 5-12, I think it was.
Okay. It is interesting because, you know, the, Brady Rawlings and Alistair Clarkson have all sort of talked about in the offseason so far about adding that outside run and getting like a Fisher, McKercher, Dylan Stevens into the club, along with a Bailey Scott and Taron Thomas and guys like that. We should have some pace going through this midfield, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully. And it's, you know, there's a lot of players that we have that we'll hopefully see a bit more of. Like, I really have high hopes for Goda. He's someone that's got a good amount of pace and he can take the ball through sectors. He's that 190 centimetres, I think he is. So he's a bit taller as well and can defend a couple of positions. I would hope that, that those are the kind of players I think will, we've obviously drafted or we've obviously traded for those, and we're going to probably draft for a bit of pace early, I guess. So we'll see how we go with those.
Okay. Well, now we get into the spicy stuff. We get picks 15, 17, 18, maybe some slightly lesser known names, even for me, until we sort of chatted before and I've been doing a bit of research on all of these guys. But look, as we know, this is your area of expertise. So let's get into 15, 17 and 18 and we'll do the same thing. Who do you think North's going to draft? And then we'll give our opinions on guys who we would draft and anyone else we don't sort of mention. So at pick 15, who is North Melbourne going to draft?
This is a very tough position to draft. What I'm really hoping for and what I think we would take is Ollie Murphy at 15 would be my hope. I think there's chances that he's off the board by then. If he's off the board, there's a few other people that I could mention, but I'm going to say that he's on the board because I can see him getting this far.
Yep.
Ollie Murphy, 200 centimeters, 85 keg. He's really composed at the back line. He's had some really good moments. Aerial ability, competes well in the air. Intercept marking down the line will be a really big feature of his. He's got a really, really high ceiling. The comps that I've heard is Harris Andrews.
Don't say that. That gets me excited.
That gets me very excited too.
I love Harris Andrews. He's so good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's the, you know, I feel he could be the 200 centimeter and you could get a couple of 190s next to him, a tiny bit like a Collingwood sort of frame where they've got Iden, I think it is. And, no, not Iden. Sorry. They've got a, what's that fella's name?
Oof, I don't know.
Yeah. One of their backs. Yeah. Quainor. That's it.
That's
he's at 190 centimeters and can drop in front. I'm hoping Goda does that role and Ollie Murphy's the big cutoff. He played exceptionally well when he was moved on to Walter at the Champs after the first quarter against the Allies for Vic Metro. He played, got a lot of upside this fella. His weaknesses, he's getting bodied a lot currently. He's very, very skinny. Yeah, I said 200 centimeters, 85 kilos. He'll be 2 to 4 years before he gets to, like, that's the issue with drafting key positions. It's 2 to 4 years in the reserves.
Well, look at Nick Larkey as well. He was sort of the same as well. I remember when we drafted Larkey and I was like, what are we doing with this bean pole? And then, look, I'm not saying I called it early, but we all knew the bet that I had with Big Ann. I was on Larkey early this year. But when I saw the preseason footage of his arms and he had trunks for arms, I was like, watch out, this guy's here. But he's, what is this, his fourth season, fifth season, something like that? So, yeah, you're right. It's about that time frame.
Yeah, he's that's what it will take. Like, a lot of these players in this, I said I like key positions at this point. A lot of them are going to be a few years before they start, before you start seeing reward for investment on them. It's going to be my feeling. I really hope Murphy slides there. I think there's a very good chance that he could, but if he gets taken earlier, I wouldn't be overly surprised either.
Okay. Do you reckon we sort of bunch 15, 17, 18 together like we did with 2 and 3 because they're so close? I guess we do.
I'll go the next one that I think we could get, which would be a ruckman.
And you're saying this is potentially a pick 17, we'd get someone like this?
Yeah, pick 17. Well, the choice that we'll have is we're 15, 17, 18. So 16 is the Giants pick, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And we will probably draft 15 depending on who they won't take at next, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So like if we think they need a key position back, we'll draft a key position defender that we think ahead of them so that they won't take them at 17, 18.
Of course, yeah, because we'll have the picks after them anyway. So yeah.
Yeah. So whoever we think that they won't or that they might take there is the one we'll take.
Yep.
I think the next one that we could take at 17, let's say, is a Will Green.
Mm-hmm.
Slight chance yet again, he's off the board. I think he's probably likely to slide. He is a 204 centimeter, 93 keg ruckman.
Big boy.
Big boy, but still lean. He was a dual sport athlete. He was a cricketer at the time.
Mm.
Strengths for him, he's got a really strong marking ability. He plays well at his height. He's very mobile for his size and he's got some very strong ruck craft. He is not out of the contest once the ball hits the ground, which is really nice to see.
Fantastic.
At Champions. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's the prototype now. You need to do that, really.
Oh, yeah.
Averaged 24.3 hitouts at the Championships with 8 hitouts to advantage. On average, so he's very good at his craft. The weaknesses for him, light frame, and he looks it at the moment, you can still see he's a bit of a beanpole. His differences between his good games and his bad games is very big. And he needs to impact more than he does in, obviously, those games. But like consistency and size, that's things that you work on over time. Yet again, he'll be a long project player, I think, for the time.
Yeah.
Strong hands, good mark. I like him a lot in that position.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, look, and there's a trend here, isn't there, where these sort of picks, like you said before, are going to be positional based, and ruckman and key defender or key position in general, I think, is definitely the main ones we need to be looking at here. All right, let's go with one more then. So let's say we've done 15 and 17. Who do we think might go, North Melbourne might pick at a pick 18?
I'm going to go Lance Collard. He's a small forward. He's from out west, 180 centimeter, 65 keg.
Yep.
He is a dangerous small forward, great craft. He finishes really well. He's very lightning fast, X factor. He kicked 32 goals in 11 games at Colts level, which is the under 18s waffle sort of standard, including 10 goals in the last 2 weeks. He nearly got them into the finals. The comparisons for him are, well, Bobby Hill's a very strong one, and teams will eventually want to move him up the ground a little bit, and Shai Bolton is the other comp.
Okay.
So if he moves up the ground, he's got that pace and that ability to, like, he just does things. He makes things happen out of nowhere. Weaknesses, I guess, for him, didn't see a lot at the champs level. WA weren't a great side there. He doesn't have a left foot. He's one-sided. He's inconsistent, but as I said, small forwards are always inconsistent. So yeah. I think he's one that will be a position base that we'll take at that point. Mm.
Yeah, and I'm really liking this end of the draft too, or this sort of region in the draft, because as we said before, I'm very passionate about getting players in the right positions. And if we get a ruckman, a key defender, and a small forward at those positions, I'm going to be very, very happy. Are they sort of the players that you would want to pick in those positions as well, other than you thinking North Melbourne would pick them? Or is there anyone else that you think we should maybe be picking at those positions?
Well, there's a few really interesting prospects there. Like, they're the ones I'm really hoping Murphy gets down to us. I think there's good chances that he gets taken before. There's a few clubs that are looking at him. And same thing with Will Green. I think he's just such a nice prospect. But there's other players that you can sort of fill into those different roles. A great example of one that I really like, but different clubs have looked at, is Mitch Edwards as another ruckman. He was the WA ruckman. He's 206 centimetres and 89 kegs.
Huge.
Huge. His comparisons that he's drawn is Timmy English. So that's a very nice one to have.
Absolutely.
His overhead marking, very strong. Great tap work as a ruckman, very mobile. He averages 3.3 tackles for WA when he was playing. The big thing that's a knock against him apparently is character based, though. So not sure entirely how he's been. A lot of people have knocked it. Otherwise, he's endurance, obviously, but you'll see that over time. That's a few preseasons. I have him ahead on talent on Green, but this is one of those situations where, do you take the Perth-based guy or do you take the Victorian-based guy that are similar areas of the draft?
Which would you pick?
I said, on talent, I would take Edwards.
Yeah.
On as North, you'd probably take Green.
Okay.
It's a interesting one, but there's other factors, obviously, with Mitch Edwards that have come up, but he's obviously a high talent. There was this guy, ZZ Top, Zane Zakutowski. He got the best on field with Colts.
Yes, I need to learn how to say. I was trying to read that here, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can say that word.
Yeah. I think he's a bit too early to go at this point for us, but he's got a really large upside. He's extremely athletically gifted. I said he was best on ground for the Colts final. That was alongside Curtin playing that game. They played him as a ruckman. I think when he comes into the AFL, he'll be a key defender, which is what they're thinking. Basically, he's got every athletic gift, the things you can't teach, and the things you can teach, he's not amazing at. so his skills are a bit probably the weakest of the available defenders. But you can't teach the unteachables. I think Blizz Cavs wouldn't be a horrendous comparison just because the natural athlete that he came in as. I think Zane would do the same.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. That is interesting. So he's very, very athletic and he's a great athlete, but maybe like footy skills aren't his forte.
Not yet. But you can work on them more than you can work on your speed, your engine, there's a lot of things you can't work on. There's some things you can't work on, and the things you can't work on, he's got.
Okay. A couple more players we'll just run through here. Is it Ari Schoenmaker?
Yeah. Ari Schoenmaker is another key position defender from Tassie.
Another Tassie boy. Jeez, we're doing well.
Tassie had a very good crop this year. Schoenmaker's 194 centimeter, 91 kilos. He's been linked a little bit to us, but I think there's a few that have, like, if Murphy's available, he's obviously the better key position. Ari, let's see, he's got a massive big left boot. He can kick it a mile. He's a very, very strong kick. Rebounding defender is probably where he could be, but they have got him as a key position defender, but at 194, a bit tougher, I think. Let's see, he's kicked a couple of goals from a good distance, like 50 plus meters. Okay. A lot of people are sort of iffy on his kick, but then a lot of people really love his kick, depending on who you talk to. I've been thinking about him. I think he's an okay kick. Weakness wise, he's missed a few games early on the first half of the Coates League due to a driving offense. So a little bit of a character thing there, but from all reports, he's, very driven on footy and really got his head down and working hard. He's probably needs to work on his contested work, and defensively he doesn't know his patterns as well as he probably should yet, I think, is the other thing that's been a knock on him.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is an interesting one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're getting down to this part of the draft as well. What did they sort of say, like the top 15 or 15 to 20 is like pretty strong, and then it sort of drops away?
They say different things depending on who you talk to. The top end of the draft, like obviously Reed is about as good as you can get. Same thing with Jed Walter. McKercher, compared to the last few draft markets, would be still a top 3-4 pick in the last few drafts, and probably, he's still very high up there. Dersma, what he did in the second half was incredible. Like, I can't take anything away from him there. The top 15 picks, probably up to about Leake or Windsor or Wilson, which will get taken about pick 14, 13. They're probably a class above. And then you've got this back half of it, which is a bit more even. There's a fair bit of evenness there, which is with these, a lot of these players, like it's, yeah, there's very even, but like with key position players as well, particularly, which a lot of them are falling. This is a very key position heavy draft, which is good for us, I guess. You're taking a fair bit of leaps on them. Like it's, you look for things that you like in them and you try to build up on that. But they're a lot harder to predict than midfielders, I think.
Yeah, like always, those key position player. I mean, so crucial. Like I love a key position player. When I was growing up, key forward, big ruckman, I loved it. But yeah, always take a lot longer to come on, which does suck. All right, so to round out this mock draft, just pick three of your favorites. Who are some smokies you think we might we could potentially take with these lower picks?
One that, not a favorite, but I think we're getting a bit more linked to is this guy, Colton Tholstrop.
Another, what a name, Wolfenstein, by the way, as well. Colton is the most American name I've ever heard.
Oh, this man will be an absolute cult figure no matter where he goes. He's got the big mullet and he's got the wraparound sunnies most of the time.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's 186 centimetres and 86 keg. He's very, very strong. Didn't look physically small when he played at waffle level, and he played a lot of games at waffle level this year. Plays tough, hits picks, hits packs well. Good penetration on his kicks, gets a lot of shots and goals. Probably needs to work on that a fair bit, though. Impacts games a lot. He's got a very easy comparison, which we've got in our backyard, the Bull. He's been very likened to Zerha, obviously.
Okay. I could imagine Zerha. Did Zerha have the mullet last year, or did he get rid of the mullet?
I think he got rid of it. He shaved the mullet.
He just went the buzz cut, didn't he? Yeah.
Lost the mullet,
Zerha was the best. I think Zerha would fix all his injury problems if he had his mullet back.
Oh, you know, shave the hair and lose the man.
yeah, exactly.
good old Colton. But this guy, I think I don't like him for us personally, just given
just because of positional fit. Yeah.
Positional fit, but he's getting a lot more linked to us over the last little bit. He's got, as I said, he's got aspects that will work really well in the AFL level. But as I said, for our team, I don't really love it, but if they called his name, I would not be shocked.
Okay.
Another really good one that we've been linked to, Archer Reid. He's a key forward, 203 centimetres, 94 keg. So he's a good one to get. He played a lot of time in the ruck, but I think he settles as a key forward. Very strong at the contest. He hits packs fairly hard from what I've seen. Picks it up well below the knees, which is something I like to look out for bigger, tall.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's got good skills, surprising speed for size. I saw him chase down a couple of mids and tackle him, which is nice to see. Very good forward craft. Like most of these players, he's going to need to work on his strength given his size, even though 94 keg is pretty big. Consistency, that's a given for a lot of these key position players. It'll take
absolutely
time. Yeah, it'll be 3 to 5, I said, on him for years before he starts to, we know exactly what he is, but he's got a pretty big ceiling if he can hit it.
Okay. It's interesting with these as well, because I'm thinking, you know, there are reports that Charlie Comben might go back. Really quickly, like what's your thoughts on that?
He's got a lot of assets that could work in a back line, but you're sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like you're not really, you know, the forward line, we're still lacking a accountability for Paul Larkey there. I mean, CCJ might finish in that role, but I think you're sort of, missing there. But I guess the other thing I saw Brady say, because when he talked about it, was potentially injury-wise, when you're a forward, you're hitting the packs harder and you've got a different role, and potentially part of his injuries are being caused by, you know, the explosiveness of being a forward, where as a back when you're getting led to the ball more, and that might also extend a bit. And he's got all the assets. He's very, very quick. He's a great tackler already, Comben. I see him moving down there, but I wouldn't be banking on him developing and staying as the key position defender, just given injury history at the moment.
Yeah.
I really like him as a player.
Sorry to interrupt. Do you think that it's if we are thinking Compton is going to go back, it seems like in this draft there's maybe more key defenders around this mark than there are key forwards. Do you think if Compton is going to go back, we do target a key forward there in particular, even if some of the players like an Ollie Murphy slides to us? If the plan is Compton goes back, do we still take an Ollie Murphy on top of getting Biggie Newen and Toby Pink and a Griffin Logue back eventually?
I absolutely do. I think with our back line, I think we've gone the spaghetti bowl effect here almost. We've thrown a lot at the ball hoping that someone sticks.
Yeah, such a good way to think about it too.
So I think like either way in, you know, like, I mean, Pink, I'm hopeful for him because I think it would be a great story. But, you know, he's been in sample level for a reason. Biggie Newen wasn't getting into the best 22. He played one game. Aiden Corr, good favorite. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
So he's back ending. Logue's already had an injury history. Compton's had an injury history. If that's what we're relying on going forward, we need to really
grim.
Have
that's grim when you paint it all like this, isn't it? Like you've just named our entire backline. Yeah. Anyone over 190 centimeters, and that does paint a bit of a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we really need to have probably a couple of swings in this point, just to, you know, because in 3 years, what's our backline look like? Three to five, sure, when we're wanting to push up, and this is a draft where you could potentially take a few of those players. There's a few names floated around for us, but an Ollie Murphy, you know, and a good high draft pick next year in a similar position, maybe a 190 centimeter as well. You know, you could potentially start building a good backline out of that. But it's like these guys that are getting mentioned there, as I said, 3 years away from playing serious AFL footy against, you know, key forwards.
Yeah. Okay. Couple more then. Anyone else you think might be a smoky for us?
There was a late word on this guy, Will Dawson. I don't have him on my little sheet for you.
No, that's fine.
He was one that we've started to get a bit more linked to. I'm not sure if he could fall to our 50 pick, to be honest. 200 centimetres, 86 keg. He's considered elite aerially.
As
he's
a forward?
Some very good. He's a utility, they've labelled him as. Because he has played across all three sectors of the field as well. But I see him as a key back. That's where he's played his best footy. He's got a lot of assets that I would really love to see come to our side. But that's assuming that we miss out on a few of these other guys.
Yeah.
Irish Owenmaker's a bit questionable, I guess. CZ has a lot of development to do, but he's got a really high ceiling. Ollie Murphy, as I said, is the one I'm hoping slips to us. Other than that, it's, I mean, Arch Reid's obviously a good one for us as a key forward, but depending on what we do with our ruck situation as well, it'll be interesting to see how we draft there.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else in any other positions that maybe isn't a key position sort of player that you think might be a chance off the top of your head? I don't know if you've got any more sort of written down or...
Yeah, Archie Roberts is a really one that we've been linked to a fair bit as well. Okay. 184 centimetres, 79 keg. He comes a lot off the halfback, really, really pacey. He can intercept mark well. He plays fairly tall for his size. Got a great first touch, clean hands. He can repeat run really well. I think he was in the Vic Metro's leadership group as well, which is nice.
Okay.
He's got good composure. He just needs a bit more work and he's contested. He's not as strong a tackler at the position as he should be, but he can work on that. The other one, very similar position, which we might also get linked to, is Riley Hardman. Same thing, general defender / mid, similar sizes, 185 and 75 keg.
Yeah, in Bonner mold.
Yeah. Oh, Bonner.
sorry to bring it up, mate. I know.
he did play football once.
He did.
He had a great season up until Dugowie got him, and then he did his ankle in that match. He was having a really good season, and then that happened, and then that was the end of his AFL career, I thought.
Yeah, if Dylan is listening, who we had on a few times in the last few weeks, sorry to bring up Aiden Bonner again, but I know he is the biggest Aiden Bonner fan to ever grace the earth. So sorry to bring it up again, mate. And to, if you're listening to this in the car, eyes on the road and don't get too emotional.
This guy, Riley Hardman, pacey outside runner, stays in games for four quarters, can find the ball a lot just through his work rate, like keeps on running repeatedly. He was a captain for WA as well, so he's got a lot of good leadership. He'll be good on and off the field. Very high defensive IQ and a very good tackler. Archie Roberts and Hardman will be a choice between the two. You wouldn't take obviously both, and depend on, I guess, Hardman. I have ahead of him personally, ahead of Roberts, but yet again, it's Perth player versus Melbourne player, that old chestnut.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, the going back to the rant at the start of the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, look, it seems like there's a lot of prospects here. And look, on paper and in highlights, everyone looks like a superstar, don't they?
But absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this 15, 17, and 18 sort of picks, because this is the stuff that I think could build build a foundation for our club a little bit. We're getting a lot of icing on this cake, but we need a bit of cake there too. And I think these guys around these sort of picks are going to build that body of a squad that maybe we don't have. I do think we've got a little bit too much of that icing and maybe not quite the cake just yet, but you know, three picks around that area that could fill out the squad nicely. You know, but once again, like we said, this is the time of year that we all get excited that we're going to draft five superstars and we're going to win the premiership within a couple of years. So I've got to try and temper those expectations.
Well, my goal here, and if North's goal, probably in the rooms, obviously they want everyone to hit, but if two out of three of the 15, 17, 18 hit and become, you know, senior AFL contributors for a good long length of time, you can really be building a like two and three should hit. Like if you're missing two and three, you've done something wrong.
Yes.
But 15, 17, 18, if two of those guys hit, you know, all of a sudden you've got, for our list, that could be six players, you know, in the last two drafts, taking away Harvey, obviously, who had and George, we've got to see. If those guys hit, you've got a real start of a really good core of a list that you could have around for a while.
Jeez, you can talk me into this team so easy, but I'm not falling for that mistake again. Oh dear. All right, okay. So just before we head off, to recap what we would do and what we think North Melbourne would do, is pick two, we think McKercher. Pick three, we think Dersma. Pick 15 would be Murphy. Pick 17, maybe a Collard. And pick 18, Green.
Yep, that sounds – if we got all those guys, I'd be a very happy man on draft night. Well, except maybe if we change Dersma to Harley Reid.
Well, that is very, very true. West Coast might actually just not pick Harley Reid because we don't know who's running that place. And I think we both sort of agree, if it was that exact – those exact sort of players, but take out Dersma for a curtain, I think we'd both be very happy as well. But that's more what we think North Melbourne will do. And just to recap as well, and let me know if I get any of these wrong, McKercher, sort of that outside, sort of crafty left-footed midfielder. Dersma, a very crafty sort of medium-sized forward, just a goal threat and has very good forward craft. Ollie Murphy at hopefully a pick 15, athletic sort of key defender. Collard, hopefully that small forward pocket that we oh so desire. And Green is the ruckman at 200 plus centimetres. And he was the Victorian ruckman, right? Not the WA.
He was the Victorian ruckman, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I think ruckman, I want a ruckman so bad. And I'm not going to get into any rants because everyone knows. But I want a ruckman so, so bad. Otherwise, next year is going to be rough. But yeah, I think a pretty successful first mock draft. Anything else you sort of want to add to any of that?
No, I think that all sounds pretty good. I mean, as I said, when it comes, a lot of things can change between here and the draft. And I think there's a lot of room for trades with our picks still. There's a lot of potential moves that we will do still. So it could be a very different picture by the time draft night hits. And even on draft night, given the suite of hands we have, I would not be shocked if we move things around a bit.
Okay. Well, the draft is on November 20th for everybody to tune in on a Monday night. We're going to do one more of these mock drafts the week before the draft as well. So we'll see if there's any trades or anything moving on the draft board by then. And we'll get you back on, Joel, as well. And we'll do another one of these and see if all of our picks sort of remain the same. Maybe it'll be a bit quicker because I'm sure maybe we'll just talk about a few rumors with 15, 17, 18, because I think it's more that top, you know, 8 to 10 are going to be the real ones to slide up and down. But yeah, we'll reconvene in a couple of weeks. We'll do another mock draft like this, and we're trying to plan some fun stuff for the actual draft night as well. So stay tuned for all of that. But thank you, Joel, for coming on as well and giving your time and crazy in-depth knowledge on the draft, to be honest, because look, I used to be really into the NBA draft when I was a bit younger and playing 2K, and I used to just dive into it. And I haven't got that brain, in the last few years. So having someone like you around does help me. I've learned heaps just listening to you talk about the players. And once again, hearing you sort of lay out their comparisons or attributes and the weaknesses as well. I think all of these guys are going to be superstars, and you've basically talked me into a premiership in the next few years, which is great and awful at the same time.
Yeah. It's a bit obsessive that I've been with the draft, but I can't help it. I just enjoy it so much. So it's a really good thing to sort of talk about for me, because I enjoy it a lot. So thanks Absolutely. For having me on.
No, anytime. Look, like I said, a couple of weeks time and you're now officially the Further North podcast draft expert. So we're going to call on you at this time of year until you don't pick up my calls or messages anymore.
I'll take that.
Fair enough, mate. Well, thank you for coming on again. We'll talk to you very, very soon in a couple of weeks. And hopefully we got some spicy trades or some crazy stuff to talk about next time.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Beautiful. Easy, mate. You have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Take care, Josh.
Bye.